Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Jaden is not injured right now, but we did lose valuable practice time, John, with him and his teammates when he was injured. And that's hard on all the guys. It's a really, really important part of what we do. And we don't have banked reps in years, so we're very much looking forward to getting back onto a full week and regular practice sessions with the guys. So over the last few weeks, we've had to, you know, put that together in small bits. So that's what I think into that space. And as we're heading into this week, we're looking forward to getting a full week of our practice and, you know, work the things that we need to.
That's Dan Quinn, but you already knew that. We're Grant and Danny, and this is The Fan. Washington is building a foundation for success on and off the field, and you need to plan for your future as well. That's where our guys come in. The exclusive sponsor of our show is the law firm Kondorian Murrah. They will help you update your last will and testament, set up a revocable trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today. Visit kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. I was talking with Kondorian Murrah after we went to Philly with them to see the Commanders and the Eagles, Danny. We were 1-1 on road trips with them because we were there in Cincinnati when the Commanders beat the Bengals.
That's right. That was good.
They have decided, and I think it'll be okay with you, they have decided we're not going to count this one. This game was not a road trip for the game.
Oh, okay.
See, in Cincinnati, we were there all weekend. It was a three-day trip. We did a bunch of activities. We played pickleball. We went up day of. We came back next morning. This was more of a business trip.
Okay, let me change it in my
So we're still 1-0 as far as show trips to road games go.
This is a business trip.
Business trip.
Nice. That's good.
So I was worried about that. The Eagles game.
Good.
I think we can all agree to those terms.
I think it's appropriate, right? I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Austin Eckler was in Philly as well. We got to talk to him about what went wrong offensively. Eckler stops by today in 2 hours at 5 o'clock for our segment presented by IT Cadre, where DC Sports Insiders share their exclusive perspective. Looking forward to talking to him at 5 p.m. But you heard the Dan Quinn comment there. Jaden Daniels is not hurt. So, Danny, I ask you, if he's not hurt, why does it seem like his style of play has changed? And maybe that's the first question. Let's actually go back even further. My perception when I watch him is there's less explosiveness out of the pocket. There's more timidness and hesitation to run. It does not look the same when you watch him play Philly as it did several weeks ago. I don't think he's hurt, by the way. I believe Dan Quinn. I don't think the rib is an issue. I think when we see them treating him on the sidelines, I believe it's preventative, and it's basically padding to try to keep him from taking shots on the rib as much as anything else. But I think you agree with me when I say it looks different. So yeah, why is that if he's not hurt?
This is what I keep coming back to, is you could tell me whatever you want to tell me. When I watch, he's not as fast, he's not as quick, he's not as willing to, you know, to shimmy and shake and make the moves. 3 weeks ago, a month ago, whatever it was, actually more than that now, I guess because it was Carolina. But in that Cleveland game, when somebody was free with a head of steam as a blitzer, he juked that guy like, you know, I don't know, like he was taking on a toddler and just jogged briskly for 40 yards. He can't do that right now. That's my belief, is he's not capable of that physically.
So let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
I completely agree. You're talking about elusiveness, basically.
Yeah.
The N'Kobe Dean tackled you in the open field. How do you let that happen? It hasn't happened all year. I don't even think that's debatable. Like, he is less wiggly and elusive out of the pocket right now than he was weeks ago. Why is that would be the rhetorical question. But you said he's not as fast. Are we sure about that?
Now,
he hasn't really gotten up to speed in a few weeks.
True. It's hard. It's really hard to tell with him because, like, you know, he's not a crazy legs kind of a runner. It's those long gliding strides where it looks like it's effortless and no one's catching him. He's kind of got that Jerry Rice type stride, you know, where it didn't look like Jerry Rice was that fast, but nobody ever gained on that guy despite what he ran in the 40. Didn't matter. Like, that dude with the football in his hands was fast. So I think back to the Pittsburgh game where he's trying to make the edge and a defensive end runs him down. And instead of 15 yards, it's 4. It's not bad. Nothing wrong with it. But that's a play Jaden Daniels, as fast as he is and was, usually makes. And it's small samples like that. But when Dean's flat-footed, and again, the cover Dean's really good. Makes a great play right there. Instead of shimmying and shaking, you got a choice. You can sprint right past him, you know, bow out and go to the sideline, get your first down, or you can shake him down. Daniels kind of halfway did both and then ends up kind of, you know, taking that hit and going down. He doesn't look as fast to me. And it's not just pure sprint speed. It's to your point, kind of the elusiveness, the shiftiness in the pocket, the maneuvering around. It looks like a guy that is ginger, that is protecting something. What's he protecting? To me, it's an injury. So that's where I'm at. I think it's, you know, a nagging, bothersome thing, like a lot of these guys have. The initial one was more significant than your normal bump or bruise. But there's a reason there's treatment still. There's a reason he doesn't look the same. It's not just, I'm ignoring what the defense is doing. His numbers are, I think, a product of offense getting figured out a little bit and playing good defenses twice in 5 days. That's not what I'm thinking of. I'm talking about just like microphone glass on him, watching him move and throw and spin off of throws and fall away, doing things he wasn't doing 6 weeks ago. To me, it looks like somebody that's nursing an injury or is compensating for something that's bothering him a little bit. That's what I think. So whatever semantics you want to use, injured, hurt, whatever, I'm not really that concerned about that.
You think he's compromised?
Yes. No. Compromised is like, I don't know, what do you mean by that? Let's define that.
You think he is negatively affected by his rib in a way that is hindering his performance?
To boil it down that way, yes. It is whether it's subconscious or
my follow-up.
Yeah,
is
or it's
a
an effort.
Physical issue?
I think it's now turned into bad habits.
Do you think he's in pain?
I think he's uncomfortable. I think he's bothered by it. I think it's nagging, right? A lot of guys have nagging
Dan
stuff.
So then Dan Quinn's lying then, in your opinion?
No, because you can get away with it semantics-wise. He's not injured. Okay, fine, it's not an injury. He's getting treatment.
He's not physically getting treatment. They're not even listing him on the injury report.
During the game, they're doing all sorts of stuff. Right. You don't do that when everything's fine.
I agree, but I would tell you that all of last week, you wouldn't not... If there was something wrong with his rib, he would be getting treatment and he'd be on the injury report. No?
I don't know.
Here is the problem I have with this. And I'm not arguing with you because I have no idea. But the problem I have is that the people who are saying after the Pittsburgh game and after this recent Eagles game that he is hurt, no one was saying that, and they certainly weren't saying that after the Bears game. And they weren't saying that after the Giants game, which was one of his more efficient games of the season. So when he played well twice, theoretically, and I don't know how injuries work, but generally the closer back to the injury you go, the more annoying it would have been to deal with, right? The more it might have affected you negatively.
Mm-hmm.
In those games, no one thought there was any problems. That's number one. My number two argument for why I'm confident that this is not the rib, in addition to the fact that when he came back after missing all the practice, he was good and didn't have any seeming issues playing through it. They have not called anything differently. Like, Jay Gruden was on the show yesterday, and he said he thinks the play calling has changed some. I completely disagree. I haven't seen any difference in how they're calling plays. They still call the design keepers. They still call occasional, like, quarterback power, like it's high school football. They have called draws in the middle of the formation they did against the Eagles where he got swallowed up and crunched. Mm-hmm. The third play of his first series back after the week of not practicing going into the Bears game was a quarterback run. Now, he got to the sideline and he avoided contact for the most part, but you didn't know that was going to be the case. When you called it, you were okay with him getting blown up at the line
of
scrimmage.
Yeah, it's a potential occurrence for that play.
Why wouldn't they have called plays differently? If he's ailing, if he is compromised, why wouldn't they table the running almost completely?
Great question. I can't get past the bad habits that have formed, the lack of zip on some of those throws that he's falling away, the not stepping into stuff. how tentative he looks moving the football.
Can't it just be, in terms of some of the bad habits, he was clearly confused by the Eagles, right?
Yeah, you would say uncomfortable, certainly, like not trusting his eyes or
exactly.
Whatever.
He was just flummoxed. Like, he did not know what was happening. With discomfort comes being rattled. With rattled comes bad habits, comes, oh, now I'm not following through. Oh, now I'm throwing off my back foot. Why does it have to be all that much more complicated than that? He's a rookie against one of the great defensive minds of the last 30 years in the league. The guy could go to the Hall of Fame as a defensive coordinator, Vic Fangio, with a red-hot defense that had been best in the league in scoring and yards allowed in the five games before that, in the case of the Eagles' defense, number one of all 32, and those categories going in. And it was the first time he's ever had a short week of prep in the NFL. 11 straight weeks he's been playing. First time ever playing with only a couple days to prepare. Loaded Vic Fangio-led defense on the road in prime time. Like, that's a good reason to fall into some bad habits because you're a little bit nervous.
If we were only talking about him throwing the ball, that would be the explanation. He's not fast. He's not as fast as he was. He's not as elusive, not as explosive. So once I got that, that's the data point that I'm going to cling to.
Or has he not gotten up to speed? Because here's my point on that. I'm asking, I'm not telling.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he takes longer to get up to speed than like Griffin did. In other words, like Robert Griffin pulls the ball down and is like, hits it and goes.
Mm-hmm.
Jaden's one of these guys that like he'll run away from you when he gets going against Florida for like that 70-yard touchdown.
Because he's a little bit taller, takes an extra beat.
Yeah. But it is strange to me how a lot of times he does not always get the corner. Like I don't know if it's like a choppy running style that he has. But like,
I'm over talking about that Cleveland game. But again, it's the two guys that have him in the grasp and he gets away.
Play where they like didn't have a great angle and he made an unbelievable play.
But like, well, the two moments: one, getting out of that tackle with two different guys, on the throw, and then the other when a pretty athletic cornerback has him dead to rights until he doesn't.
Yeah, I don't think happened in the Giants game. By the way, his best like, oh my god, how did that guy not sack him? Moment of the year, in my opinion, was the second Giants game after the rib injury, where he got away from a rusher and got out of the pocket, and it was like. And Jay Gruden raved about it the next day on the show.
Was it that one that was still a sack, but it was a much lesser sack?
No, I think
that was
got,
the first Giants game.
I think
which
he
one
got out
about?
Of the play and made a throw.
Okay.
I'll pull up the play and show it to you. Okay. But basically, it was as elusive as he's been at any point all year, where it's like dead to rights. Jay brought it up on the show and was mm-hmm. like, that's why I love the guy.
Yeah.
Because that play is dead on arrival until he makes the guy miss. And that was post-rib injury.
Mm-hmm. So, again, I don't have all the answers here. Here's what nobody, like, You can penetrate my fortress in a number of different places.
Right.
Not as fast, not as explosive, not as elusive right now. So that's where I'm working from. I start there, and I think you start from a different place, which, by the way, is reasonable because we're sitting here in this era of mystery.
Of course.
Right?
I am willing to agree completely on not as elusive. I'm not willing to say not as fast because, again, I think – he only gets up to speed after he breaks through the first line. And then he's like going down the sideline for 19 or 25 or whatever. And he hasn't done that. He didn't scramble. He had 5 rushing yards against the Steelers. He had 18 on a handful of carries, I think it was, against the Eagles. He's got 23 the last two games. So I don't know if he's faster or not because he hasn't run yet. He's basically just like avoided and tried to get to the sideline. We've not really seen him sprint. But it is possible. I would agree maybe on the explosive part. Because I feel like he would have left N'Kobe Dean in his dust a month ago. Like that part of the elusiveness angle, I'm with you on. I think it's just better defenses. We had so many people all year long telling us, team's got to keep this guy in the pocket. Because even though he can make throws from the pocket and beat you that way, it's still way easier to deal with him when you know where he's at than kind of getting outside the pocket, letting receivers who maybe aren't great separating anyway, oh, by the way, like have extra time to get open. That's gone away the last 2 weeks. That's a big part of it to me.
I'm trying to find the play against Pittsburgh that I keep referencing also for the speed part of it. But again, this is just eye test. I don't have a stopwatch. I'm not measuring things. I just know that earlier in the season, I know against worse players, worse defenses, worse whatevers, plays are being made that aren't being made now. And I totally understand your point about better defenses. That's why I'm, you know, that's why the only passing I'm referencing isn't Well, his completion percentage went down starting against Chicago, and his I'm not even referencing that stuff. That's happening. That's a different discussion. Some of the throws look to me, it fits the narrative of physically not the same, compensating, and, you know, slipping into some bad habits because he wants to avoid contact to that side. The guy that threw that ball against Cincinnati is not this guy right now. That's what it looks like to me. It looks like someone that's bothered by something. So again, I don't think Dan Quinn's standing up there on Tell the Truth Monday or Factual Wednesdays or Informational Sessions Thursdays and boldface lying. This isn't like a full Shanahan or Rivera or whatever.
And remember, he said on Tell the Truth Monday that Daniels is not hurt. And that was to Tell the Truth Monday.
It's Tell the Truth Monday.
That wasn't not Mislead Monday.
Yeah, so injured, hurt. I mean, the semantics of that from back in the day with Griffin, like, are burned into my brain where somebody's cleared, but they're not healthy, or they're injured, but they're not hurt. All that kind of stuff. I don't know. Football is hard. All the physical contact these guys go into. Everybody's got something. And Austin Eckler comes on in 5 is, I'm sure, nursing 7 things that would leave me bedridden for a month, you know? It just looks to me, having seen sports the way you have, like everyone else has, this is somebody that doesn't look comfortable. And it's I don't mean like trusting his eyes with a defense. Physically doesn't look comfortable to me. That's what it looks like.
I just got a tweet here from someone who said, I speculated weeks ago as a hairline fracture. It's not. Unless you think the team is lying and risking losing draft picks by lying not just to the media for no reason, but on the injury report. The guy was not listed as having had that injury, and at no point along the way, as they've stopped listing them all together, are they suggesting even that he's still getting treatment at this point. And if he had a hairline fracture of the ribs, you really think that they would have played him less than 1 week later? And you really think that they would have just automatically been calling running plays for him to go get crunched again? If they would have done that, that would have been a malpractice. That would have been stupid. You can tell me, yeah, that's what they were doing. Okay, then you're telling me that these coaches are silly geese. Because both of those can't be true. That they're really smart and do everything correctly, and that you trust in them. But also that their quarterback had a hairline fracture in his rib, and they put him out there on the third play random, and had draws and design keepers. No chance. Now, nobody has suggested that. The suggestion all along has been that it's a cartilage injury, which is, I'm sure, what it was. And it might have been determined that it's painful, that it's going to be annoying to deal with, that it's not going to go away, it's not going to be linear right away, but you can play through it. But when he stopped being on the injury report, which means he's not getting treatment in the training room anymore, he's not sitting on the table and getting massaged and all that last week, for them to lie about that is an unnecessary risk of getting in trouble with the NFL. There's no benefit. You think that the Eagles aren't going to tackle him as hard or take a shot at his padded ribs because he wasn't on the injury report?
This just in, the next team they play wants to hit the quarterback too.
But I can't wait to see what people think about this. Let's hit the phones hard next. If you're on hold, we're getting to you in just a moment. 800-636-1067. You want to line up on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. Two questions here. The first is, are you buying Quinn saying that he's completely okay and that there's nothing with the rib hindering his play? And if Quinn's correct and you agree with him like I do, then why does Daniels look different? Because in varying degrees, you and I agree, Danny, that he does not look the same as he did several weeks ago. I just think it's because they're playing better defenses and the offense is not as in sync and he's not playing at the same level, and it's a natural regression for a guy who was playing at a level nobody ever had before. That a regression was inevitable because otherwise he was going to have a rookie season no one's ever had. He's just kind of fallen back to the pack of being really, really good now. 800-636-1067. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Dan Quinn says, it doesn't matter what everybody thinks. It doesn't matter what you think you're seeing. Jaden Daniels is fine. That his rib is not an issue. It's not bothering him. What say you? 800-636-1067. So if we're doing a pie, I'm going to say the rib is maybe 5%, 10%. And I think whatever element of issue the rib is, like the 5 or 10% is like the physical. Occasionally he gets hit and he feels it or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think maybe there's a little more than that where it's mental, where because of the rib injury, he is hesitant to leave the pocket as much or to run to the extent that he did. Or maybe he doesn't want to take, you know, the same shot to the rib in the pocket. So he's falling away rather than following through. I think for the most part, this is paralysis by analysis. This, we are overdoing it. They played the two best defenses they're going to play in 5 days. The Steelers had a great plan and have great players. The Eagles had an excellent plan and tremendous players. They made Washington and Jaden Daniels look worse. He looked slower and frozen and unsure because he was. because he was unsure. And I think that they're going to play much better. He's going to play much better against the Cowboys. And the story will be, man, that rib really healed over this mini bye over those 10 days. And I just think the rib thing's being overblown. To you, you say?
Underblown. If that's even a thing. Underrated. Probably close to 40% is everything that's happening to me stems from that. Whether it's an actual injury, and Dan Quinn's lying, I'm not saying that, or it's something that's caused a chain reaction where physically is not the same, the bad habits have formed. Those things are real to me. The other percentage of this pie, and again, we're not talking about like some disaster where he can't complete a forward pass and is now bad. That's not the case. But the slight regression, huge emphasis has to be on the opposing defenses that they're facing. And I think that's related to the third part of the pie graph, which is Kingsbury offensive regression, maybe some lack of elite talent in there on that offense, especially at receiver spots. That's all kind of coming home to roost now. So to me, though, the physical part, right, only looking at him, not throwing decisions, not some mechanics, whatever, it is a, that doesn't look like the same player that was explosive and running around the field like it was a vacation. He's different now.
Let's go to Stefan in D.C. on Grant and Danny. What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good, buddy.
I think it's plain and simple. They played, like you said, they played against two of the best teams in the league, both of them coming off bye, so they had essentially 2 weeks to prepare. While the Commanders were on, you know, regular weeks, they couldn't alter their game plan while both Pittsburgh and Philly were able to tailor their defensive scheme around what we do best. And so, and with him looking a little bit slower, I think that was just him playing against more disciplined defenses who know how to play against the quicker, faster quarterbacks. And they just play disciplined, learn how to keep them in the pocket, how to work their angles to make the tackles. I think moving forward, I think we'll be okay. Now Cliff knows what they need to change, knows how to alter and kind of play with what teams are going to do to them. And I think we'll be okay.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, I do too. They're playing some lesser opponents. But the question I'm going to ask for everybody, and it's a good call, for everyone who's on that side, and it's a very reasonable side, because it's the he's listing correct data points. Is
so that's me. So what is the question for me?
Does he look physically the same to you? And if you answer yes, then it's an impasse. Because I'm not saying you, but that's the part where I go, no, and I can't get past that.
So I would say no, I don't think he looks the same. But the difference is you're saying it's because physically the rib is not allowing him to be. And I'm saying he might be more timid. You know, he looks hesitant. We're agreeing that he's like slower and less explosive. Mm-hmm. I think he's less decisive as a runner. I think he is less reckless is not the right word because that would be a good thing.
Yeah, like less gung-ho or less whatever, aggressive.
I think he is less aggressive for sure. Mm-hmm. They just played an Eagles defense that's number 2 in the NFL and a Steelers defense that's number 10 in the NFL. And they both essentially made it hard for him to get out of the pocket.
Yep. By design.
previously, teams were not as successful. So he looked more explosive and twitchier and faster because he was running unimpeded out of the pocket. Whereas here, he's dancing around bodies and he's skipping around dudes and he's looking with his peripheral to see who's coming because he feels like he might get crunched. Let's go to Reggie in D.C. What's up, Reggie?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Love the show as always.
Appreciate you, man.
I can't believe that people are, like, he's hurt. You don't, if I got a toothache, right, I'm going to continue to take the medicine because my tooth hurts. When he's on the sidelines, he's getting something, a compression, whatever he's doing on the sidelines. That's not because he's healthy. You don't get hit on the sideline.
So this is the best argument, Reggie, is what in the hell is going on the sideline after every drive if he's healthy?
He's hurt. Now, this is my thing. DQ, I listen to every interview with DQ and with Jaden, and DQ has never came out and literally addressed, you know, and it may be a little bit preemptive, but he's never addressed injuries like this because what he said was right now. He said right now he's not hurt. So that means he was hurt, we know that, after the Panthers. He was hurt Chicago. He was hurt with the Giants. He was hurt Pittsburgh.
Okay, but let me ask you this. I'm going to get back to I will answer after you're not on the line anymore about what's going on in the sideline. But I want your opinion on this because you say he's hurt, which makes sense because of the treatment he's getting. So then you are telling me that if he's hurt now, that he was really hurt a month ago against the Bears. Or do you not think it's any worse? It just isn't getting better.
I think, honestly, I think it's probably like a pain tolerance. So let's just, and again.
So like what percent out of 100 do you think he's at? Just play along with me for a second.
Right now, I don't think he's going to be 100% until next season. I'm going to give him like 90. I think at the Bears game, I'm going to give him 75 to 80. He was hurt.
Okay, so but the Bears game, he played better than he's played the last 2 weeks.
I understand. Now, again, we can't. Okay, look what the Steelers did to Lamar. That's a great defense.
Agreed. So you're saying that who they're playing matters a lot, and he's playing worse because he's just not playing as well because the defenses are better, but he's also hurt.
No, what I'm pretty much saying is he's hurt. Well, he was hurt.
Okay. Right, but you just acknowledged, thanks for the call. You said that the Steelers made Lamar look bad. So you're not saying that as if you're saying the Steelers also then in some way made him look bad. And if you're telling me he was 75% against the Bears when he played better than he did at 90% against the Eagles, you're suggesting that the quality of the opponent has a lot to do with what's going on as well.
So this is such a complicated thing because we take the same data points and then ascribe like a different conclusion to it. I don't mean to be morbid about it, but I think of this. Going back to the pandemic, right, where people unfortunately are passing and the actual cause of somebody passing away, it's this underlying condition. Well, it's exacerbated by the new disease that they got. So which is it? How do you quantify it? The point that I'm saying is it's the original injury, the original trauma, the original hurt that's led to XYZ. And somebody else might say, well, no, XYZ is happening, but it's not necessarily because of the injury. Right? Like, to me, this all started with this awkward thing against Carolina, and now a bunch of compensating things and a bunch of being tentative and a bunch of lack of aggressiveness, a bunch of not willing to step into throws. It all stems from that thing. So I don't know how much what his pain level is or if he's compromised or limited otherwise. Like, I'm going, we have a one timeline. See Marvel Universe, somebody plucks an Infinity Stone. That's a now new timeline where he is different than he was.
Okay, but so he said he's hurt, but then went on to say he's at 90% right now.
I know.
Now. If you're 90% right now, then we're arguing about nothing.
Right.
Because it doesn't matter. Because a lot of guys are 90% right now.
I think a lot of guys would take 90%.
And by the way, 90% is above the threshold of what we're talking about.
Yep.
Hurt or not hurt is, should he be on the field or not? Is his performance dramatically thrown off? At 90%, your performance is not dramatically hindered.
Right.
So that doesn't add up for me either, oh, by the way. But this idea of if he's saying he's hurt at 75% against the Bears, then he shouldn't have played. There was no reason to play him in that game if he was actually, if he's still hurt now, then playing him against the Bears was a terrible idea. By the way, no one after that game said he was hurt. We were all clapping after the Hail Mary. No one after the next week, the Giants game, ever suggested he was hurt. No one was calling up here saying, man, Jaden's playing hurt. He's just not the same. That was not a storyline. It didn't become a storyline until after the Pittsburgh game. But he's hurt. If that's your truth and that's kind of how you see this, then you are saying that they played him really hurt against the Bears, that they've been calling quarterback draws and quarterback powers and quarterback runs between the tackles while their quarterback has a hurt rib.
Yeah, like irresponsibly, if that's the accusation.
That is an just a ridiculous thing.
Yeah, it's malpractice.
Then Dan Quinn is an idiot. Then Cliff Kingsbury is a moron. I don't think that's the case.
And I don't think that.
Respectfully, I'm going to assume that us on the outside probably don't have as much information in this. And I don't normally do that. But if I have to assume that either they're all stupid and we know better, or maybe we're seeing something and prescribing something that isn't there, or maybe they're just like, you know, if they didn't play him against the Bears, if they weren't running him to the extent that they are, and they were just saying at the podium he's healthy, then I would say, well, they know he's not healthy. They haven't ran him in 3 weeks. They haven't done a design run in a month. They haven't asked him to keep the football. They're getting the ball out of his hands immediately. They're not doing that. They're treating him like they treated him in October and September. Let's go to Bobby in Alexandria. What's up, Bobby?
Hey, Bobby.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Good, dude.
You know what? I know he's injured, but not like a rib. It could be muscle, something that's going on with him, because the only thing I can tell you is I've watched every single game the last three games since his injury, and he throws the ball in the ground instead of up. You know what I'm saying? So something's going on with him. They're not ready to – it just could be some muscle stuff. I'm not exactly sure, but I'm not a doctor. But how many times did he throw the ball in the dirt? Like six, seven times? Like where receiver's wide open or, you know, close to being wide open, throw it up, you
Thanks,
know?
Bobby. Appreciate you. Let me ask you this, and someone wants to answer this on the phones. Happy to hear an answer. 800-636-1067. But I'll start with you, Danny. What do they have to gain by saying he's not hurt if he is? Because everyone's going to target the rib regardless because he's getting treatment after every single drive.
Yep.
Now, I want to get into the caller's point. I thought that was a great point by the caller to say, well, what are they doing on the sideline if he's not hurt? We can do that next segment. But what is to gain from that? Unless this is a, and I don't think this is it, but this is the only thing I come up with. What was the biggest argument against Jaden Daniels in the pre-draft process and for a lot of the people that weren't really to just like jump into the parade right away?
It's like, frame.
Frame, yeah. Durability, right? Mm-hmm. If he hurt his rib in the first half of his first season, and it's now lingering and debilitating to the point where his performance has dropped off and it's going to continue to hinder him for the rest of the year, there's going to be this I told you so, like, this guy's not going to be able to stay healthy. He can't withstand the rigors of the season. You know, and I think that would be silly and foolish. Again, I don't even think he's hurt right now to the extent that a lot of people do. But you get what I'm saying.
I know exactly what you're saying.
They could be working against this idea of the biggest story all offseason being, he played five games, or I don't know, eight games, whatever it was, and then he got banged up, and he was never the same again after that, and he weighs 202 pounds. Why is that not always going to be the case with this frame? And maybe they're just getting ahead of that to say, he's not hurt. He's not hurt. I promise he's not hurt. Because they don't want to hear the
chirping.
All the people saying, you can't draft a 202-pound quarterback and let him run all over the place.
So my response to that is, I think that's how normal people would think. I don't think NFL people, NFL coaches, and NFL front office guys, whatever, are normal at all. They treat what they're doing like it's the nuclear football. Like they treat what they're doing like it's like state secrets. Like that everything's a betrayal if any information gets out. And you know, God bless them. That's kind of how they do it. But I think in their worldview, the idea that somebody might show weakness or that there might be something for a quote unquote defense is the target. Whereas you and I both know that's patently absurd. Every team they're going to play is going to try to hit him wherever they can and bring him to the ground, because that's how you win football games, is to knock the quarterback around. But I bet you in their mind, it is a state secret thing. To me, there's more upside in saying, yeah, it's been bugging him a little bit, but everybody's got something that's bugging him, and we're going to continue to work on it and manage it. I don't see what's wrong with that, but that's not how they do things.
If he's not hurt, what's going on the sideline? Let's get into that next. 800-636-1067. Quinn says Daniels is just fine and that the rib's not affecting his play. Do you agree? We're G&D on the Fan. The axiom that we live by. Chase your dreams, not your trends.
Chase your dreams, not trends.
Put it on a t-shirt. G&D on the Fan.
Don't Welcome put it in the middle back. Of the t-shirt. Like left breast pocket.
Yeah, right on the left breast right pocket. There. That's where you want it.
Mm-hmm.
Darris Dameron, Ryan Clary production. We will try to crowbar in a double play in just a bit, but we got more important business to tend to right now. Top of the hour in 15 minutes at 4 o'clock. We're giving away Caps tickets. Sadly, you might be going to see the Capitals without Alex Ovechkin. He's listed as week-to-week injured last night. We're awaiting word on exactly what's going on with Grade 8. Mike Vogel of WashCaps.com is going to join us in the Beltway Blitz. We'll get an update right at the top of the hour from Vogues on Ovi, so make sure you're listening. But we're actually talking about another superstar who may or may not be dealing with an injury, and that's Jaden Daniels.
The debate centers around a couple different things. You're basically talking about a performance that isn't what it was, you know, before the Carolina injury. So much of that can be explained away by quality of opponent. I'm just trying to put the microphone glass or microscope to the layperson, but not the Mad Dog Russo person. Basically, on him physically and the things that I see that have nothing to do with opponents being good and offensive outputs going down against good opponents. To me, he doesn't look physically the same. And the next layer of this is a caller brought up, and you and I brought up previously, if there's nothing happening, why is he receiving treatment on the sideline during the game?
So this, to me, is the best argument to something's not right. Because every single drive, it seems like he comes over and he just sits there. He's not moving around. He's not throwing the football very often until he goes back out. And he just kind of chills there with his coat on, looking like he's in 8-degree weather. And while doing that, he's normally getting, you know, his arm over his head and they're rewrapping him or bandaging him. I think you could explain that away. And I hope someone asked Dan Quinn about this sooner than later. But I think you could explain that away as precautionary. We don't want him to take any hits on that rib. That rib was injured recently, and we don't want him to get hit there again. And so we are wrapping and rewrapping and making sure that there's protection there. That's the best I can come up with. There's a difference between protecting and kind of in advance working on something to make sure nothing bad happens as a precaution and treating him because he's in pain. And I think it's more A than B.
So I think it's one of those where, again, I think of injuries that so many people have had or that I've had or otherwise. Even when I was fine, we still went through the treatment plan. You know what I mean? Like, you're still doing it. You're still doing something because it's an affected area. I don't know if it's pain relief. I don't know if it's discomfort relief. I think they're not wrapping his ankle. They're not rubbing a knee. They're not, you know, doing a shoulder massage. It's an area where there was an injury. There was some kind of trauma. So I think they're basically taking, I don't know if it's precaution. I don't know if a heat pad on there is precautionary. I don't know what's precaution. I think it makes him feel better. I think it loosens you up. So something that can tighten up, which means that there's something happening that's not keeping him from playing, but that is nagging.
Let's go back to the phones and talk to Brian in Indian Head. What's up, buddy? How are you?
Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for taking my call. I appreciate the entertainment and you guys bring to my life, man. Really cool what you do. But
thank you, buddy.
I'm totally getting – you're very welcome. I'm totally getting the psycho ex-girlfriend vibes. You know, this past relationship is a reason why I have trust issues now, and I'm thinking that she was different, but she's kind of – you know, seems like she's the same. I mean, you know, if somebody's not on the injury report and yet they're getting treated between every play, and not only that, but the camera's on, and then you see him as he's holding his jersey, he's wincing in pain as they're operating on him too. So that brings me a lot of concern. And like Danny was saying, all that I know is that he was one way and now he's a different way. And the only two things I could think of is either they're trying to protect him from being exposed to further injuries from other teams, or they want to show pony on the field to maximize profits.
Well, look, that would be a business person that would want that. Football coaches, especially in year one of their program, and you could make the case they would never prioritize just making money. Why do they care about that at all? They mm-hmm. want to win football games. If they're going to make him play before he's ready to, it's because they're trying to squeeze out wins, not dollar bills. Dan Quinn doesn't get any more money if there's 15,000 more people in the stands or 10 million more people watching or 800 more fans at any, you know, pep rally. He doesn't care about that. He cares about winning football games. I also think everything that they've done every step of the way organizationally has been pro player since Adam Peters got here.
Yes.
Everything. Every decision they make, every time someone gets hurt. I told you the story about a guy getting hurt and Adam Peters himself texting the father an update from the locker room after, you know, a scan to, hey, we got your boy here. I mean, these are grown men with kids, right, in the NFL acting like it's peewee football. And I mean that positively. Like,
yeah.
It's amazing how they treat their players. So I do not think that's part of it. There is a disconnect between what they think and what we think. And by the way, they have the doctors and they have the images and they have the scans and they have the intel. If we're right, man, are we good diagnosing it from the
right.
screen.
Yeah.
Because it also can be true that he doesn't look the same as Danny's suggesting, and some of you are. And it's just because, like, you look worse when you play better teams. Lamar Jackson did not look the same this week as he did when he played Washington.
See, but now we're getting into semantics again. To me, he did. He didn't have a good game. He's still fast. Still running away from people. He didn't complete passes. Like,
here's what I mean, though. Against Washington, when he wants to get out of the pocket, he can get out of the pocket. When he wants to pull the ball down and go, it's fast, it's explosive, and he's up the field, and he's got 11 before anybody touches him. Against Pittsburgh, you're slower. You're hurdling a guy. You've got people at your feet. You're slowly leaving the pocket. You're getting angled out of bounds for 4 yards instead of 21. And it looks like you're a little bit slower. Let's go to Kendall and Brandywine. What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, buddy.
Grant, your logic is you can't refute it. And I'm going back and forth because you guys are making some good points. So he definitely does not look like he did pre-injury. I mean, we could all know if he never had the injury and he plays Philly and Pittsburgh, what does he look like? To me, it's not just the balls are falling short and things. He's fading back. It's his confidence. The aura that he played with before is gone. Now, could that be because of injury? Sure. Could he be favoring it? Sure. Could it also be because he's playing better defenses? Yes, absolutely. But so I don't know which one it is. I don't think they would put him in harm's way if he truly was injured by running him. So I do know that. But he's a rookie. And so as a rookie, that's the reason why, I mean, you could say Pittsburgh kind of negated Jackson last week. But Jackson is not a rookie. The kid, he's a rookie. So he's going to look a lot worse than Jackson did against the same team. But this week will tell the tale, because if he kind of looks a little similar to the way he's looked like before, then we'll know it was more a function of the defense. But if he doesn't, there's got to be something wrong with that rib.
Good call as always, buddy. Appreciate you making it. Yeah, I mean, the thing I'm having a hard time explaining or defining is doesn't look physically right to me. And I think people are attributing game performance, right? Where an offense is struggling a bit more. There are more three and outs, and there's more incomplete passes.
You're talking about movements.
I'm talking about the way that he moves and throws. There is way more bad that has nothing to do with what defenses are doing, to me. Like, and that I think that's the sticking point, and I'm not explaining that very well.
Which I get. I think you are explaining it well, honestly. I don't know if I'm explaining my rebuttal well, which is, don't you think you can look like you're moving less well? Like, if we got anyone here, if we got Clary, Darius, Linnell, whoever, and we're like, okay, run around the room. And then I was like, okay, now run around the room. And people are in front of you, and, like, you're going to move differently.
Sure, but I'm not even talking about those. Like, the moments of...
He hasn't been in the open field at all. So when has he been...
And that's a huge part of it, is, like, he can't get there now.
Yes, because there's better teams keeping him in the pocket.
The moments of, okay, go, 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 where he's had outlets. Like, Patrick Queen caught him. Like, he's even with Patrick Queen caught him.
But this,
like,
was my point earlier.
That's not him.
He's caught by guys all year. It's weird. Like, he is not, for the fastest guy in the world, which is he basically is. I saw it in the SEC. I saw it at Florida. He has not run away from guys. It has been stunning to me. Like, when there have been all year long, like, this angle, he is like a choppy starter. I don't know how to describe it otherwise. It sounds like I'm knocking him. I'm not. But, like, he is not a immediately get up to speed 0 to 60. He's kind of like an SUV. Like, he gets going, and then he runs away from you. And, like, Brian Burns, these guys, that they like, angle him out of bounds. All year long, he's getting 4 here, 6 here, 9 here. But he kind of gets pushed out of bounds or caught. I don't see a huge difference in that regard. My thing is, I think it's, I keep saying mental over physical, but it's like a lack of, the less burst to me is more,
lack of belief in a response
urgency
from your body. Yeah.
There's, like, less urgency, like, gotta go. There's less, whatever that is, like, in the pocket, gotta go. There's less of that. It's like, well, I can't go, so I gotta stay. Boom, got hit. That's, to me, what's happening. But that's okay. That's where we kind of disagree. If he balls out against the Cowboys, what will we say? man, those 10 days did him some good? Or can we acknowledge that it's like, eh, maybe he's just dominating the bad teams?
It's all on the table. Seriously, I mean, if Micah Parsons has him one-on-one like N'Kobe Dean did, and instead of just sort of half doing a fake and just sort of gently putting his arm out and kind of falling down short of a first down, if he runs away from him, jukes him, or does something that looks explosive again, I'll go, it's different. If he tears up a bad defense who can't get to him, we can have that discussion too.
Why are they lying? Why are they running him? Why did he play right away weeks ago? That's a month ago now.
Yeah.
If he was quote unquote like debilitatingly bothered,
I don't think that's ever been on the table. The debilitating injury, I don't think that's a thing.
But the whole point of the conversation is he's negatively affected or if he isn't. And if you're saying he's negatively affected on November 19th, what was the date of the Bears game? Barely into November? October?
It was October 27th.
October 27th, they played him and they had him running.
Mm-hmm.
On November 19th, he's still compromised? I mean, what are we saying that they did that week then and that day? What evil are we putting on them?
Seriously.
That's a pretty big leap. Beltway Blitz is next. We got Caps tickets for you as soon as we return on Grant and Danny.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.